Heavenly Father, we give this time to you now. I pray as we open the Word of God, you would instruct us through the teaching of the Word, through the Holy Spirit of God, that we might be better and more Christ-like in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Going over to Romans this morning, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, as we continue our study of looking at the Holy Spirit and thinking of the responsibilities of the Holy Spirit while Jesus was here on the earth in His time of ministry. We've looked at a lot of things and seeing how the Holy Spirit had responsibilities, He had roles, He had duties also to help Jesus Christ in His ministry. And we come today to a portion of Scripture that we know and we probably can quote it, but do we really apply it to our hearts and lives? Look at Romans chapter 12. Let's just look at the first two verses, but really you can read the whole chapter and it applies to today's lesson. In verse 1 it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, this is talking to Christians, brethren, Christians, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and as we look at Jesus Christ's ministry, and we think of applying that to our lives today, because everything that Christ did, we are to be Christ-like, so that we should also be able to conform to the image of God. And how do we do that but yield ourselves, our bodies, our wills, our minds, our strengths, our talents, all to the Lord, for the Holy Spirit to use those abilities, those strengths, our mind, our abilities, our talents, for His glory. So as we think on this subject of Romans 12, 1 and 2, and we go back now, let's look all the way back into the book of Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 1, he's talking about Jesus Christ here, a messianic chapter in our scriptures. In Isaiah 42, look at the first verse. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And in the middle of that verse it says, I have put my spirit upon him. And we've seen this. We've seen how the Holy Spirit has come upon Jesus. And we've seen how He's empowered Jesus. We've seen how He has strengthened Jesus. We've seen how He's even been given Jesus has been given power to perform some of His miracles and some of His healings through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not to say that Jesus Christ was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit, but He submitted Himself to allow the Holy Spirit to be used through Him in many circumstances. So as we look at this Isaiah 42:1, and we see that God put His Spirit upon Jesus, it was God declaring that this was the quality and the characteristic of what Jesus is going to be. Anytime if you look at someone, you feel like they are really displaying a Christ-like spirit, they can't do that through their own strength. We can't do that through our own strength. We have to be submitted and yield to the Holy Spirit to be Christ-like. And so there's qualities, there's characteristics in our life that are evident to others if we have yielded to the Holy Spirit in our lives, just like Jesus Christ had characteristics that were evident in His life that showed the Holy Spirit was upon Him and that He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. So these characteristics, we can look at Jesus' life and we can look at numerous examples of Jesus' ministry in His life, and we could see where the Holy Spirit was, He was yielded and submitted to the will of the Father. First off, we see Jesus exhibited something that we have a struggle with in this life, and that is selfishness. Are we not self-centered in our lives? Does not our world revolve around us? Not just in the world today, but in Christian circles today. In our circles today, if you look at your personal life today, does your life center around you? Or is it centered around others? Jesus exhibited selflessness. It was never about Jesus. It was about all others. What did He come to do? To seek and to save that which was lost. He came to do the Father's will. One of the chief qualities produced in a believer by the Holy Spirit is humility or selflessness. So you can examine your own lives each and every day, for this is a daily thing of yielding to the Holy Spirit. You can look at your life through this day, each day of the week, each day of the year, and you can look at yourself, was I humble today? Was I selfless today? Or was I self-centered today in my decisions and my actions? You know, for a great example are these new tracts that we have in the church. I hope everybody's seen them. They're out front. They're in every building. Grab one of these tracts and grab a handful of these tracts. I tell you, it's got a fresh look, and people will take it quickly out of your hand. And when we give it out, they start reading it. And it's an invitation to our church, but also on the back, a salvation message. You go through life, you come across people. God will put people in your path. And when you come across these people, are you going to be Christ-like in your actions and in your words, or are you going to be self-centered? Because if you're self-centered, you're going to leave it in your pocket. Or if you've even took any and put them in your pocketbook or in your coat pocket or in your shirt pocket. But if you're thinking of others, part of your conversation is going to turn towards the Lord or an invitation to church. That's selflessness. That takes humility. Basically, we are self-centered people. And only by the Spirit's enabling can we become others-centered. That should be a goal for ours this coming year, is to be others-centered. We have people that we know need help. Individuals in our churches, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace. We have knowledge of people that have needs. What are we going to do with that knowledge? Are we going to help them, others-centered, or are we going to be focused on ourselves, self-centered? Jesus was never self-centered. Christ is our great example of selflessness. Look over in the book of Mark, in the Gospel according to Mark in chapter 10. And verse 45. In Mark 10 and verse 45, the Word of God says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." It's talking about Jesus Christ. And Jesus is actually speaking this about Himself. And He's saying the purpose for what He came to do was not to be ministered unto. Yes, He's the King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He was born in a manger, not in a palace. He did not come to be served. He did not come to be ministered unto. He came, it says, to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Back over in Isaiah 42, in verse 2, it says, "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause His voice to be heard in the street." It's not about Jesus. He's not promoting, it's not self-promotion of Jesus. That's not His ministry. His ministry is to promote the Father and the Father's will. And the Holy Spirit, as we've talked about the Holy Spirit for weeks now, and the Holy Spirit never talks about Himself. He never is never about self-promotion for the Holy Spirit. He's always glorifying and proclaiming and honoring Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is always glorifying and honoring His Father. That's other-centered, selflessness. You know, back in verse 2 of Isaiah 42, where it says He would cause His voice to be heard in the street. This indicates that God's anointed, who is Jesus, was not self-seeking. Hey, you must listen to me. That's not how Jesus went around. People flocked to Jesus because of His characteristic of selflessness. He gave of Himself. He did not crave worldly prominence for Himself, and He had no selfish pride. Notice over in John, just a couple books over in chapter 8. In John chapter 8, look at verse 29. Again, Jesus speaking, and He says, "And He that sent Me is with Me. The Father hath not left Me alone, Notice the last part of verse 29. For I do always those things that please Him. It's not Jesus. Jesus is not self-centered. He is other-centered and He's focused on doing the will of the Father. Do we always do those things that please the Father? Not only selflessness, but Jesus also exhibited gentleness. How did Christ deal with the brokenhearted? How did He deal with the downtrodden? How did He deal with those in need? Did He just shove them aside? No. Did He ignore them? No. He was gentle towards them. In Isaiah 42, in verse number 3, the prophet Isaiah declares through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. In Isaiah 42 and verse number 3, a bruised reed shall he not break. We think of a bruised reed. This is a unique, particular, and specific illustration that Jesus is trying, or as Isaiah, through the inspiration of God, is trying to give us this bruised reed. What is this bruised reed it's talking about? It's talking about someone that's downtrodden. It's talking about someone who's brokenhearted or in need. You think of a reed that's standing tall in a creek or a stream. It's standing tall. It's well nourished. It's not having a problem. It's just blowing in the wind, is having a great day. But then when you see that reed that's broken and bent over, it's called a bruised reed. Someone stepped on it, animals come by and knocked it over, or the wind's been too strong and bent it. This is talking about those in life that are struggling, that a hardship has got them down. Do you know anybody like that? We all know people like that. We have been there as well, where some situation in life has gotten us to the place where we're a bruised reed. A spirit-filled person should be strong in their character, but they should be tender and gentle in their actions and words. Jesus does not compromise with sin, and neither should we. I'm not saying we should compromise with sin, but our heart should be moved with compassion for that sinner. For once, we were that sinner. We're still a sinner, saved by grace. But once, before we knew Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were a bruised reed that was downtrodden, that was brokenhearted, that was in need. And it was just the winds of this world had gotten to this place where we just were, is there any point of going forward? What is life all about? Why am I here? We don't compromise with sin, but we have a tender heart towards that sinner. If there is a bruised reed among our friends, among our acquaintances, we should seek to repair and the damage and to make them whole and strong again. And how do we do that? What's their need? Can we help with that need? Do they need a shoulder to cry on? Do they need a compassionate, tender hug? Do they need someone to just listen? Our world is about busyness. Our world goes about today, and it seems like the minute and the hour hand just continually spin in our lives where we're just so busy about life. But we're also so self-centered that we don't want to see the needs of others. We don't want to see those bruised reeds that need our help. But we're surrounded by them. Our churches are filled with them. If there is a heart in which the flame is dying, someone has said, we should seek to fan it and quicken it and cause it to burn brightly again. Do you know a Christian today that the circumstances of life have got them so far down that they've started missing church? You know, you don't just step out of church and stop coming. It's a slow, gradual thing, especially somebody that's really faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They don't just stop coming to church. They stop coming to Wednesday night services or Sunday night services. Usually Wednesday night's the first to go. Sunday school, then Sunday night. And eventually, they're out of church because they don't even come Sunday mornings. Do you know any Christians today that life has got them so far down that they've started missing services? It's our job as servants of the Lord through Spirit-filled lives to encourage those bruised reeds and strengthen them again. You see someone missing? Give them a call. Encourage them. Send them a card, a note. Jesus exhibited gentleness, and so should we. He exhibited selflessness. Oh my, so should we. He also exhibited resoluteness. He did not quit. You know how easy it would have been for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He says, I'm done. I'm not going to the cross. He knew what was before him. Not just the pain, not just the suffering, not just the mockery. He knew he was going to be separated from his Father. Never before in all of eternity had he ever been separated from his Father and fellowship with his Father. And he knew for 3 hours on the cross, when the sins of all mankind, our sins, let's make it personal, our sins were placed on Jesus Christ, he was separated with fellowship from his Father for 3 hours. Jesus could have said, I can't go that far. We would have had no hope. He did not quit. He was resolute. He did not quit when the obstacles were so extreme in his pathway. Look again in Isaiah 42, look at verse 3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Notice verse 4. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. He's described as the one who would not fail, nor be discouraged. Have you ever quit anything in life? I look back in my life, there's things that I've quit. I quit playing the cornet, which is like a trumpet. I quit the Boy Scouts. I've quit jobs. Has there been anything in your life you've ever quit and then you feel remorse about it? Why did I quit playing a musical instrument? Selfishness. I didn't want to devote the time to practicing it. Why did I quit the Boy Scouts? It just wasn't my thing. It wasn't cool. In high school. Now, why did we quit things? Do we want to be known as a quitter? Have you quit talking about Jesus to people? Have you quit some service in church that you don't come to anymore? Have you quit doing things that please the Lord, that you know please the Lord? You've quit them? Do you have remorse? Well, Jesus would not fail, nor be discouraged. You know, the word fail there in verse 4 is an interesting word. It means dimly burned. You know, like a candle dimly burns. That's what that word fail means. It dimly burns. It contrasts Christ with the believer who may be that smoking flax in verse 3. Dimly burning light. How bright is our light? I believe it's over in Galatians it says, it compares about our light, and Jesus says, we're the light of the world. How strong is our light? How strong is our light for Christ in this world today? Is it a little night light? Is it a battery-powered flashlight? Or is it one of those LED flashlights? Or is it like those extreme gala, extravagance, big spotlights that are bigger than me that point up into the sky and you can see it for miles? What kind of light are you for Jesus? Were you once one of those bright lights and now you're just a dimly burning lamp? That word discouraged in verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. The word discouraged comes from a root word to crush. Jesus would not be crushed. His spirit would not be crushed. His resoluteness would not be crushed. He was not going to be discouraged from following and doing and completing the Father's will. Christ persevered in the work God had given him to do and was not deterred from finishing it. Praise the Lord, for we wouldn't be here today. Many of us would probably be in hell today without Jesus Christ being so resolute. We are prone to start strongly but finish poorly. We give up way too soon. When the going gets tough, we stop going. This is because often we are operating not as Jesus operated. Now, we're not the Son of God. We're not deity. But we have one lives inside of us. That is, do we not? After the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes inside and dwells inside the believer at the moment of our salvation. So we have God in us. We have, because Holy Spirit is God, remember? We've talked about this. Holy Spirit is as equal to Jesus Christ as He is to God the Father. He is God. And we have God that lives within inside of us. And if we yield our bodies and our strength and our mind and our abilities and our talents to the Holy Spirit, then we can be other-centered. And we can be gentle to those that need gentle and compassion. And we can be resolute and not quitters. While we fail, while we finish so poorly, is because we're operating in the strength of the flesh, not in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-filled believer who is surrendered to the enabling and empowering of the Holy Spirit of God will keep on keeping on in God's purpose for them. Now, God has a purpose for every one of us. And He wants us all to glorify Him and to bring honor to Him. We carry around this carnal, fleshly nature, and it just sort of drags us everywhere around where we should allow the Spirit to bring us everywhere and let the spirit, or let the carnal flesh be dragged around. Someone explained it years ago as inside of you have a white dog and a black dog. And the white dog is like the spirit-filled life and the black dog is like the carnal fleshly nature. Your life, depending on who you're feeding the most, one of the white dog or the black dog, is depending on, are you going to be spirit-filled, yielded to the Spirit of God, or are you going to be sinner-centered, carnally minded? So who are you feeding today? Have you fed your spirit today through reading the Scriptures? Well, I'm in church. I'm going to hear the Scriptures today. That doesn't count. That's addition. That's bonus. We should be studying the Scriptures on our own. We should be yielding. Before we come to church today, we should have yielded ourselves and our minds and our hearts to the leading of the Holy Spirit today. If we don't do that, we're coming in the flesh. So we're coming to be entertained. Well, how's the preacher going to preach today? Is it going to be powerful and loud and quiet, or is it going to be boisterous, or is it going to be moving across the stage? I'm not here to be entertained. I'm here to be taught by the Holy Spirit of God. So that means I have to yield this body. Because this body is going to be thinking about lunch. It's going to be thinking about a nap. It's going to be thinking about things that are all over the place in my mind as it wanders. You have to bring it back. Holy Spirit, I yield to You. Speak to my heart. Speak to my mind. What a marvelous example for us is our Savior. He lived in submission to the Father's will and the enabling of the Spirit, and so should we. There is a chorus found in some hymn books that goes like this: to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask to be like Him. So meek and lowly, so humble and holy, all I ask to be like Him. That should be our prayer. Are we not commanded to be Christ-like? Are we not commanded to be holy? The entire Christian life can be wrapped up in those simple words of that chorus. We are to be like Jesus. Jesus is not here in person, physically. Someone comes forward and asks for forgiveness of some act or some deed. Jesus is not here physically to do that. Of course, He does that spiritually. But we're here. If we've been wronged, can we not forgive? Are we not supposed to forgive? Are we not supposed to show people how He forgives? Jesus is not here to feed the hungry. He's not here to strengthen the weak, to encourage the discouraged, to clothe the cold, to help the widows and orphans. So He says to you and to me, show them how I would. We are His ambassadors. We are to help others. If we see a broken, a bruised reed, as it says in Isaiah, then we are responsible to help that bruised reed. That person that needs an article of clothing, maybe a new suit or a tie or a shirt. Marty loves to come around and show us his new shirt or new shoes or new tie. That's great. Love helping Marty. But is there anybody else that has that need too? We have bus kids that need help. We have bus parents that need help. Do you know somebody discouraged, downtrodden? Encourage them. Because one day you may need encouraging. Jesus tells us to show them how I would love them, how I do love them. Show them what I would do. Show them where I would go. Preach what I would preach. Teach what I would teach. Sing what I would sing. Love as I would love. Forgive as I would forgive. Be kind as I would be kind. Do good as I do good. So as He set out to be like Jesus, there are so many hymns in our hymn book that talk about being like Jesus. Pick one. Memorize the hymn and sing it through the day. How about trying to walk in the steps of the Savior? What a great hymn. Or, to be like Him, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art, come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Or, be like Jesus, this is my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long, I would be like Jesus. There's so many great hymns that talk about being Christ-like. Those are the things we should be whistling, humming, singing to ourselves. Reminding ourselves to be submitted and yielded to the Spirit of God that we can be Christ-like. As we go out singing to be like Jesus, trying to love as He loves and forgive as He forgives and encourage as He encourages, what we find out about ourselves, though, is that we fail at these attempts over and over and over again. We find out about ourselves that we would rather be served than to serve. We find out about ourselves that we'd rather be helped than to help. We find out about ourselves we'd rather receive than give. We find out about ourselves we'd rather be fed than to feed. We find out about ourselves to be clothed rather to clothe. We would rather hate our enemies than to love them. We find it difficult to bless those that curse us. We find it rather to be cheered about ourselves than to cheer someone. We would rather be comforted than to be those that comfort. Try as we may, we fail. We cannot be like Him unless we follow the biblical principles of Romans 8:11. Let's turn there. This is a great truth that sometimes we interpret and apply incorrectly. Romans 8:11. This will help us to be Christ-like if we keep this foremost in our hearts and minds. In Romans 8:11, the Word of God says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you." I know He dwells in me. Do you know He dwells in you? "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." We often read this verse and apply it to the resurrection of our bodies after death. And it can be applied that way. But this verse also truly is talking about the availability of the resurrected life while we're still in our mortal bodies. Our Lord is saying that if the Holy Spirit can raise up Jesus from the dead, that same Holy Spirit that lives within inside of us can raise up us from selfishness, self-centeredness, in order that I may live in a resurrected life. That resurrected life can only be lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God could raise the body of our Lord and Savior, then that same Holy Spirit can raise us up to walk in the Spirit, to have daily victory, to live a resurrected life. But what's the key? Yield to the Holy Spirit daily. For He can do the work that I cannot do and you cannot do. He can help me to be other-centered, not self-centered. He can help me to be gentle and compassionate towards others that need it instead of looking inward into my own needs. He can help me not to quit, not to be discouraged, but to go forth resolute. Then we can go through the power of the Holy Spirit singing to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask to be like Him, so meek and lowly, so humble and holy, all I ask is to be like Him. I pray that's your prayer this morning, is to be like Jesus. How do we do that? We are to be yielded to the Spirit of God daily, sometimes hourly. And if we do that consistently, we'll be selflessness. We'll be other-centered. We'll be gentle and compassionate towards those that need gentleness and compassion. And we'll be resolute, not quitters, but victors in the power of the Spirit of God. He dwells within inside of us. Why are we fighting against Him? Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us take this lesson and apply it to our hearts and lives. Use it, dear Lord, to help us to be other-centered, to be Christ-like in our hearts and our lives. And I pray that You bless this next hour. Bless our pastor. Give him exactly what he needs from the Holy Spirit of God and to go forth in the Spirit of God to teach us the truths from the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.